The scriptures are very clear. One must be born again, John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you read further down, he says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. To see and to enter.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul grew up facing religious traditions but had no real belief in God. Then Christ intervened with the hope of a new life. To learn how you can enjoy an authentic, fruitful relationship with Jesus, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's personal testimony. Today's lesson continues our study of God's desire to see all people receive His salvation. As Raul explores how Jesus called His disciples to put His kingdom first, you'll be challenged to consider your commitment to Christ and His gospel. Raul will teach us how to reset our priorities if we need to, making choices to keep Jesus at the center of our life and strengthen our witness to a watching world. Let's listen as Raul Reese begins today's lesson.
He says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you look at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he's speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. In the first 11 verses, he speaks about the Beatitudes, what you're supposed to be like. In chapter 6, he speaks about praying and fasting, and then he gets into the place where he begins to speak about the kingdom of God. And what he does is he brings it down where Jesus is speaking about not only keeping the kingdom of God, but where's your position, your relationship with God? Seeking God's kingdom has to be not only our first priority in our marriage, in our singleness, in whatever we do, God has to be number one. Revelation 2:4 says this, nevertheless, speaking to the church, I have this against you. They had everything going on, work, and I mean, everything you could think of, right on. He says, but you have left your first love. Remember where you have fallen, repent and do your first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent twice. He's asking them to repent. And the reason the body of Christ are struggling is because of your position in Jesus Christ. He's not number one in your life. Everything else is number one in your life. You can have your husband, your wife, your kids, your job, I mean, the gym, the beach, whatever it is. That we need to understand that if Christ is not first in my life, everything else will fall apart. God can bless you. Let's look at the first point here, the need of a real born-again experience. I think that's something that we can talk about, something that within the church you have to really look at your life. Because one of the problems among the married people and singles is a situation where do I really believe that Christ is in my life? Remember, when you came to Christ, He was with you, convicting you. He came into your life, but then He comes and He gives you the power to be a Christian, the power to live the Christian life. The scriptures are very clear. One must be born again, John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you read further down, he says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. To see and to enter. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a very wealthy Pharisee. He came by night to ask Jesus, Jesus, what must I do to be a Christian? And Jesus said, you must be born again of the Holy Spirit. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and you cannot see the kingdom of God. He's speaking about a new life that we have. We can't live in our old life. because then we're not born again. If we say we're born again and we're going back to our old life, you're going to turn people away from Christ. You're going to make them stumble. So when you say that I'm born again of the Holy Spirit, they have to watch your life, and they will watch your life. The way you pray, the way you speak, the things that you do, watching your life to see if God has really, really saved you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone, male, female, young, whatever, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. A new life in Christ Jesus. We have to love one another. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You see? The new life separates us from unbelievers. You see, I cut off every friend of mine that was an unbeliever. I made a piece of paper, put their names, when I put their names on the date, and then as they began to get saved, I would look at how long it took for them to be saved. But never, ever partook of their sin, ever. And they knew my life. You have to separate yourself. Listen to what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In the book of Corinthians, Paul also says to the Christian, he says, if a Christian is not walking with Christ, he says, don't even eat lunch with them. Because if you do, you're associating with them. How are they going to come back to the Lord when you're supporting their sin? He goes on to say, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, what I just said, now this is what I say. Come out from among them. Be you separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness of God. Not only do we grow in the life of a true believer, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Peter is saying when you become a young Christian, you get saved. The first thing you want to do is you want to learn the word of God. I went to Costa Mesa. I began to feed upon the word of God, not real milk, but as a newborn baby. And as I began to get rooted and grounded, that became where now I'm not on milk anymore, but I'm on steak now. You see, I keep growing. I keep developing. But so many people stay drinking pure milk, never feeding upon God's word. And that's where people fail. And that's where Satan gets a hold of your life and he keeps taking you back to the world, bringing you here, bringing back, going back, and people are confused and you confuse other people. We are to bear fruit in the newborn again experience. He says in John 15, Jesus, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Each branch, which is us, in me, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You know, I have a lemon tree, and it wasn't given lemons. So what I did, I'm not gardening either. I took the scissors, and I cut some of the branches. And all of a sudden, I began to see flowers. In the last 6 months, I have lemons now. But what Jesus is saying this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it brings more fruit. But you are already clean because of the word of God, which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it's abiding in the vine, Jesus, neither can you unless you abide in me. Then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire. Into the fire. What's the fire? Hell. And they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There has to be fruit in your life. There has to be fruit. If there is no fruit, then there's a question mark there. Are you really a believer? Do you really, really believe in Jesus Christ? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in order to survive, in order to do what God says in our lives. But we have to have victory over the world. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We've been talking about being born again. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ. My faith in Jesus Christ allows me to overcome the world. We are not to love the world, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Forever. The word abide again. Abides forever. Secondly, we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Every believer needs the Holy Spirit in their lives. Number one, we need his anointing. So he can teach us. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing, the Holy Spirit, which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. And it's true. And it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Again, the word abide. He will dwell in the believer, Romans 8:11. But if the Holy Spirit is in him who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The word in you. He guides your life, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but of whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we need for a life of prayer. I think that's so important. I think that this is one of the weaknesses in the whole church of the body of Jesus Christ. If the body of Christ would take time to pray and spend time with Jesus, the Lord could do so many things. The church would be different. Listen to John Knox, a Puritan. He says this in selection of his writings. Whoever wishes to pray must know and understand that prayer is an earnest and familiar talking to God, to whom we declare our miseries, who support and help we implore and desire our adversities, in whom we bless and praise our adversities, of whom we bless and praise for the benefits which we have received. So prayer includes the recounting of our troubles, the desire for God's defense, and the parsing of his magnificent name, as the Psalms of David clearly teach. The Psalms of David are prayers. You need to read them. their prayers. The Proverbs are given to us by Solomon so that we can understand and have wisdom in our situations and our problems. So if you don't read the Psalms, then what are you learning? Nothing. When you get in trouble, who can you go to? Nothing but yourself. And the devil comes along and deceives you and destroys your life. Here are the requirements for prayer. Number one, we pray in the morning. Mark 1:35. In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, between 4 and 5 in the morning, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. 4 o'clock in the morning, he's praying. How about secondly, praying in secret? Luke 5:16. So Jesus himself often withdrew into a wilderness and prayed. He got away from everybody to pray. Your phone, your kids, your wife, husband, whatever it is, man, you go to prayer. And then praying with others. You can pray with brothers and sisters or your wife or your kids. Luke 11:1. And now it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, then one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. See, they saw something special in John's life, and the disciples said he was teaching them to pray. Teaching them to pray so they could pray. And then we have to forgive people when we pray, or otherwise God will not answer your prayers. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Unforgiveness is the most horrible thing in the world. Talk to an expert. The most horrible thing when you don't forgive people. God does not answer your prayers. There's a story, in Matthew chapter 5. There's a young man going to the temple. He's going to be taking a sacrifice. He's going to pray. And when he gets there to the door, he says he remembers that if I have anything against anybody, if I want my prayers to be answered, he says he went and asked for forgiveness. And when he came back, he went to prayer because he had a clean heart and God answered his prayers. How about you here this morning? Who do you have something against? Or who's against you? If we are not forgiving people, our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. They're not going anywhere. And so when I take the time, if they forgive me or not, that's their problem. But I want to make sure that I'm doing what the Bible says, to ask them to forgive me for what I've done to them because of the Lord, because of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we need to feed upon God's word so we can grow. We know that without the word of God, we will never grow spiritually. And then it's important to spend time reading and asking God to speak to your heart. As you open your Bible and you're reading, all of a sudden, Proverbs or Psalms or whatever book, the Lord speaks to you and you stop. You say, are you speaking to me, Lord? If it brings conviction, he's speaking to you. And he might speak to you so you can put it away. Maybe in the future, he's going to do something that he's not doing today. But this is what he says. And a lot of people, they don't spend time in the Word because they're so busy with their own lives. Married couples, single people. No time for actually reading the Word of God. So many young and old married people that are backslidden and have no wisdom from God because they don't read the Word of God and there has no conviction in their lives. Proper attitude to have as a believer, we stand in awe of God's word. Psalm 119, 161. It says, but my heart stands in awe of your word, the Bible. We tremble at God's word, Isaiah 66:2. For all those things my hand is made, and all those things exist, saith the Lord. But on this one, I look on him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at God's word. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. You brethren who hate you, who cast out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. Again, the word of the Lord. Fifthly and lastly, to accomplish all these things, lastly, is to know the way of the cross. I'm going to read scriptures. Just incredible about the cross. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8:34. When he had called people to himself, with the disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 10:21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, speaking to a rich man, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up your cross and follow me. Mark 15:21. And then they compel in certain men, Simon the Cyrenian, and the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. That's what added, daily, and follow me. Luke 14:27. And whoever does not bear his cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. John 19:17. And he, bearing his cross, Jesus, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha. If you guys have been to Israel with us, you know what I'm talking about. John 19. Now Pilate wrote a title to put on the cross, and the writing was this: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. They did not like that. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Galatians 5:11. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased.
We hope today's lesson has challenged you to think more about what you can do to build God's kingdom and bring glory to His name. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To review today's lesson, call us at 800-634-9165, and we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Now, when you make your request, all you have to do is ask for Rawls' teaching titled Priorities in the Christian Life. We'd also like to tell you about Rawls' inspiring CD series titled The Call. This 5-message audio pack points to the eternal impact you can have in the lives of others when you obey God's leading and surrender to His will. You'll see that while it's easy to get wrapped up in earthly goals and pursuits, the Lord wants you to keep a heavenly perspective in your daily decisions. Then He can work through you to accomplish mighty things in His name. Contact us to place your order for this motivational resource. Visit us at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you The Call audio series for a gift of $20 or more. That number again is 800-634-9165. Or if you prefer to write us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We encourage you to take advantage of all of our free Somebody Loves You resources. All of these broadcasts are available to download as podcasts using Spotify or iTunes. Plus, you can keep biblical teaching at your fingertips by downloading our app to your iPhone or Android. This app features a convenient scripture reading plan to help guide you in your personal devotions. For Bible-based perspectives on current world issues, join Rawl for Straight Talk on his YouTube channel. Look for this Q&A program every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. If there are additional ways that we can come alongside you, please let us know about it. We welcome your input as we craft every broadcast to equip you with the life-giving truth of God's Word. And it's because of your prayers and financial support that we're able to reach more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ every day. Thanks so much for your contributions. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll explore God's pursuit of every person's heart and have the opportunity to evaluate where we stand with the Lord and His gift of salvation. Here's Raul now once again with the final word from today's lesson.
Lastly, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me finish with a quote by Francis Fallon back in the 1500s. The greatest of all crosses itself. If we die in part every day, we shall have but little to do on the last. These little daily deaths, dying every day, will destroy the power of the final dying.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.